From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, strike up another victory for the unborn. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announcing earlier today that the Mexico City policy, which prevents taxpayer dollars from being used to fund or promote abortion in our overseas spending, is being expanded to, quote, the broadest extent possible, end quote. What does that mean? Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is here in just a moment to explain. And it's almost comical watching the media eat their collusion crow. Rich Noyes of the Media Research Center is here to talk about the left's all-you-can-eat crow buffet. Also, the curtain has been yanked back on the infamous Southern Poverty Law Center, and it's revealing to the world that the storied organization was little more than a cesspool of racism and bigotry driven by the dollar. Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media joins us with the latest on the Poverty Palace. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Hey, by the way, our apologies for those who participated in yesterday's poll call. There was an obvious error on the number. I'll explain that later. But first, within 72 hours of taking office in January of 2017, President Trump reinstated and expanded the Mexico City policy. Now, that was first enacted by President Ronald Reagan back in 1984. Now, the policy ensured that U.S. taxpayer monies would not fund non-governmental organizations or NGOs that performed or actively promoted abortion as a method of family planning. However, the policy had some loopholes, one being that while an NGO contracting with the U.S. government was prohibited from performing or promoting abortion, those restrictions could be circumvented by subcontracting to another organization. Well, this morning, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced the closing of those loopholes. Here to explain is the Secretary himself, Mike Pompeo. Mr. Secretary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you today, and thanks for having me on the show.
Well, this was another major step by the Trump administration to stand for the sanctity of human life, and quite a significant step in sending a message not only in how we spend our money, but in what we prioritize and what we advocate for.
Tony, I think that's right. President Trump has been unambiguous in his defense of making sure that every unborn child gets to live their life, and that no taxpayer money should ever go towards any abortion at any time. And we'd put together a series of policies that have expanded on the Mexico City policy laid down, as you said, in the early 1980s. But we identified a couple places where we could do even better in ensuring that our dollars were going only to those services that were appropriate and not going towards abortion or abortion-related services. And so today I announced the administration's policy. It's a little arcane, but suffice it to say there were gaps. There were places where taxpayer dollars could, through subcontracting or through partnerships, end up places that American taxpayers don't want them to go, that is, in supporting abortion. And we today have put a place in policy that will reduce the risk that that will ever happen.
Now, Mr. Secretary, we're talking about a sizable amount of money. About $9 billion or more goes to foreign NGOs that provide health services. This does not in any way restrict money in terms of reducing the amount of money, I should say. This actually will direct more money to health care and related causes because none of that money will go to abortion.
That's right. No, Tony, President Trump's made clear this is not in any way an effort to reduce, indeed just the opposite, the access to health care for women and for global health issues. President Trump's made real promises about this, and we will continue to honor them. What we don't want is that money being used for purposes of abortion. That takes money to end lives that should go to promoting health issues. And so this policy, in fact, ensures that the risk that any taxpayer would have to underwrite this deeply immoral activity takes that risk down, while making sure that we continue to provide U.S. dollars to those places where we fund foreign NGOs to deliver health care for those who truly do need it all around the world.
Mr. Secretary, if I can borrow from Scripture for just a moment, it talks about where our heart is, the treasure is going to be there. You know, that where we put our money is a reflection of where our heart is. And I have to say that this is a sea change, not just this decision, but this obviously is fulfilling that decision by the president to expand Mexico City back as soon as he took office in 2017. But we're making, as I said at the beginning of this, this is more than just about where we place our money. It is it's an indication of our priorities as a country, and in particular, this administration.
Tony, as Secretary of State, my mission is to execute our value set as laid out by President Trump, who has made clear the expectation that American taxpayer dollars would never go to harm the unborn. And this is further evidence of our commitment, of our moral understanding of the world. And to your point, that the dollars follow that. And so we never want to allow these resources to go to things that are inconsistent with our morality, our value set. And President Trump has urged every cabinet member to make sure that that's the case. And today, the State Department was able to take a set of steps that will further effectuate this commitment to the unborn.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. My guest, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, discussing a major announcement this morning to enforce the Mexico City policy to the broadest extent possible. What will be the effect of this for those NGOs that do not want to comply? What will be the enforcement mechanism?
Tony, what we've found as we've put the Mexico City policy back in place and expanded is that most of the foreign NGOs will comply. They will recognize this as U.S. policy, U.S. law, and they'll do right. For those that don't, we will deny them access to resources. We will not allow them to continue to take U.S. taxpayer dollars and use them for these purposes that are inconsistent with the administration's policy and with federal law. So we've seen that in foreign NGOs. We've seen it with certain multilateral organizations. And President Trump has made clear where we see it, we will stop allowing that money to flow. And so the enforcement mechanism will be simply to say that you can no longer have access to these federal taxpayer resources. My expectation is that foreign NGOs will comply with this. They will do their level best to acknowledge this policy and the law and try and comply with that. That's what we have found so far. We've now communicated what our expectation is with respect to subcontractors for foreign NGOs and now monies that flow through OAS, the Organization of American States, as well. And I'm confident that most of the foreign NGOs will do their level best to comply. And where they don't, we'll ensure that they no longer have access to American taxpayer money.
Well, Mr. Secretary, I think I can say this on behalf of pro-life Americans. We're grateful for this administration, for your leadership in protecting the unborn, but also sending a message to the world. And not only on this issue of the sanctity of human life, but you've led out, and we talked about this previously on the program, on religious freedom as a top American priority. And these types of decisions, literally because of America's influence, literally changes the landscape of the world. These are important decisions, and I know they don't come without pushback and without political risk. But please, I think you should know that the American public, the pro-life American public, deeply appreciates your leadership.
Tony, thank you. We think moral clarity matters an awful lot. President Trump has been very clear that we need to speak about protecting the unborn in every activity that we engaged in. And so thank you for those kind words.
Before I let you go, Mr. Secretary, you made a historic trip just recently, last week, to Israel, and a historic announcement regarding the Golan Heights, very significant development in the Middle East.
As a former tank officer who'd had the chance to study these famous battles on the Golan Heights, it was personally amazing for me to be in Israel when the president announced his decision to recognize Israel's decision to exercise sovereignty over the Golan Heights. This was the reality on the ground. This was important for Israel's national security. And so I was really proud to be a part of the process that led to the president's decision this week to recognize the facts on the ground there and to recognize that this was necessary in order to preserve Israel's security.
a major decision. I have to say this, Mr. Secretary. I know you were a tank commander. I've stood there at the Golan Heights and looked at some of the shells of the tanks. I was an anti-tank gunner, so I was on the opposite side of that. Never wanted to be in one of those metal frames.
I never wanted to encounter you or your kind.
Mr.
Tony,
Secretary.
Wonderful to be with you, sir.
Thank you so much. And again, we commend you for your leadership and the president as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for your time today. So long.
All right. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, major decision today on the Mexico City policy. I don't want you to miss the importance of this. All right. A lot of people complain, well, we don't get enough from our leadership. You've got an administration that systematically is advancing the sanctity of human life in our domestic and our foreign policy. I have never in my lifetime ever seen an administration that has been as pro-life, and not just in their rhetoric, which is all important, but actually in their record. They're amassing a record as the most pro-life administration in the history of this country, at least since Roe v. Wade. And that's the result of elections. Now, he didn't mention it, but this morning I was before the press conference that the secretary had. I was in a meeting with the Secretary of State in his conference room with a handful of pro-life leaders. And I shared this. I was just thinking as I was sitting there listening to him, sitting next to him as he was explaining this policy, I was thinking what a difference this was two secretaries ago when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State and advancing and using your tax dollars to not only advance abortion through NGOs, but actually influence other countries and shape constitutions like Kenya's, where they were trying to mold their constitution to reflect our values. Not any longer. That's the result of elections. That's why you have to be informed and you have to be engaged. This stuff just doesn't just happen. It requires putting the right people in the right place, and that only happens when you take up your place on the wall of our nation. A great day. And I predict we're going to see more policies like this if we continue to do our part. All right, don't go away. We've still got a lot more Washington Watch to come. Coming up next, it's almost comical to watch the media eat their collusion crow. All of the stuff they were saying about the Trump administration, gone with the release of the report. So what are they going to do? Do they have any credibility left? Well, we'll talk about it next with Rich Noyes of the Media Research Center. And then we'll also be talking about the latest on the Poverty Palace, Southern Poverty Law Center. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, from January 20th, 2017, that was the inauguration day, through March 21st, 2019, that was the last night before Special Counsel Robert Mueller sent his report to the Attorney General. The ABC, CBS, and NBC evening newscast produced a combined 2,284 minutes of collusion coverage. Most of it, 1,909 minutes, following Mueller's appointment on May 17, 2017. Now, that's an average of roughly 3 minutes a night, every night, for an astonishing 791 days. A level of coverage normally associated only with a major war or a presidential election. Well, here to help us understand how the media is going to consume all of this collusion crow is Rich Noyes, senior editor for Newsbusters and Media Research Center. Rich, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony.
I mean, this has to be embarrassing to the media that basically staked everything on the fact that Mueller was going to come back with all of this evidence of collusion. It's not there.
And Mueller himself now, you know, his report says he didn't find evidence of Trump or anyone in the Trump campaign working with the Russians. I mean, that is, you know, I think they might have assumed maybe President Trump might escape prosecution, but there's clearly somebody has to have done the colluding. Well, no, that's not what Mueller says at all. And Mueller, I expect, will be called to testify, and he will explain his decision. He will be an advocate for his decision. I mean, this is the opposite of what liberals and the media were hoping for. The reason that amount of coverage is so high, and this is, you know, the biggest. There's no policy of the Trump administration that got more coverage. This dominated the coverage. It was one out of every 5 minutes of the president's coverage was about this Russia story. It was probably the biggest single news story of the last 3 years. Nothing was sustained that could have beaten it, is because the media were just of the belief that this was going to be like Watergate. It was going to end with the removal of a president. And they were telegraphing that with all their editorial decisions, giving it enormous coverage. And now they have to look at the results and say, oh, I guess there's no there. Some are having an easier time than others in coming to grips with this. But I think they're all going to eventually figure this out when Mueller tells them, maybe in a few weeks, maybe longer, why he came to this conclusion. But it's not what they were expecting.
Well, pollster Frank Luntz said that this is a prime example of cable news being more interested in affirming their audience's views rather than informing them. I mean, how else do you explain what they've been doing for the last, 800 days?
I think that's a part of it. I mean, there was a poll that came out maybe a month or so ago that showed that 99% of CNN viewers believe President Trump was lying about Russia. You know, this was more lopsided than MSNBC's audience. And Fox's audience, had the opposite point of view, but, not by 99%. I mean, it really was speaking to the choir. But I also think these journalists were themselves, they're cable news viewers, too. They believed it after a time. They kept talking about it day in and day out. They kept searching for evidence to prove their own narrative. And they just lost sight of the fact that they're supposed to be open-minded investigators trying to figure out what's going on. Instead, they became advocates trying to find, any piece of information that would support their predetermined conclusion. And, doing that for 2 years with this level of coverage, and cable was just off the charts. I mean, some days that was all they talked about all day long, 20 hours a day. I think they basically convinced themselves that there was a lot of there just because that's all they talked about. That's all they devoted their brain to.
Right. Yeah, it became an echo chamber. And it was almost almost all negative. I mean, you pointed out 92% of it negative. In fact, you've got a collage at Media Research Center. They have kind of a collage of these different sound bites that have been out there. And I've got just a short clip I want to play just to kind of give listeners a sense of what has been said and really how off the media was. Let's play clip number one.
Donald Trump knows the noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening, if you will.
The noose is tightening around the president.
The noose is tightening.
And I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening and that people might go to jail.
He knows he and POTUS are going to prison.
Well, I think they're all going to end up together in prison, and maybe that's a good thing.
How do you just come up with the same terms? I mean, were they working off talking points that were disseminated, or were they just listening to one another and repeating what each other was saying?
Well, I think a lot of it was listening to each other, but, we need to also remember there was, advocates on the other side. There was the Aaron Schiff's, the House Democratic Intelligence Committee leader. You had John Brennan, a former Obama administration official. People like that were either behind the scenes or on the record sort of telling journalists that, what they were seeing also amounted to collusion. They were helping to sort of lead journalists in the direction, confirming there were suspicions. And, you see journalists incredibly skeptical of the Trump administration, Donald Trump's lawyers, whenever they would try to argue the other side. But they didn't seem to have the same suspicions when it came to what the Democrats were secretly telling them or telling them, in public. And they should have been. They should be skeptical of both sides. That's how a journalist is supposed to
That's
do
right.
their job.
Right.
Instead, they just caved into one side and believed it.
Now, ABC's Terry Morin, back on March 10th, put out basically a warning. He said there would be a reckoning for the media if the report failed to deliver evidence to validate these claims of the journalist. Will there be a reckoning?
I think some journalists will take it seriously. I mean, I'm not terribly optimistic because after the election result in 2016, they said we have to deal with the fact that we totally missed what was going on in the country. That was supposed to be a reckoning. You see what they spent the last 2 years doing. There wasn't much of a cleaning up of their operation.
All right. Rich Noyes, thanks so much for joining us. And again, appreciate the work that the Media Research Center does.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. Well, we'll ask you a little bit later on the program about the credibility of the media. Will there be a reckoning with the public? All right, coming up next, we're going to get the latest on the Poverty Palace. Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media joins us with the latest on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Don't go away. More to come.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage that's peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand-up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, Rich Lowry, the editor of the National Review, described the Southern Poverty Law Center as a left-wing outfit with the same shoddy standards as Joe McCarthy, but with a better business sense. The group, which once held the KKK accountable, itself became hostile to people of color and to women, as it's now been exposed by former employees. Their hypocrisy seemingly knows no bounds. Joining me now to talk about this, the latest on the Southern Poverty Law Center, is Tyler O'Neill, senior editor with PJ Media. Tyler, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
There was a front-page story today in the New York Times, the title, Roiled by Staff Uproar, Civil Rights Group Looks at Intolerance Within. Now, the article details the widespread allegations of sexual harassment and racial discrimination, which comes at a time, according to the New York Times, as the center's influence has surged in the Trump era, end quote. How does the SPLC maintain its credibility after all of this?
It's going to be really tough. Because what we've seen is their co-founder being ousted, Morris Dees, and then just last week, Richard Cohen, their president, decided voluntarily to step down. And he said that they'd emerge stronger after an investigation by Tina Chen, who was Michelle Obama's chief of staff back when she was at the White House. But I really don't think they're going to come out standing strong.
No, this is the same Tina that's wrapped up in the Smollett controversy in Chicago as well, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, Tina Chen sent an email to Kim Fox, who is the state's attorney over there, whose office decided that they would drop the charges against Jussie Smollett today. So it's a real question as to whether or not there was. I mean, it certainly seems as though Tina Chen intervened for Jussie Smollett, and she actually helped get the FBI and the feds involved in the case. She told Fox to call them, and the FBI got roped in, and we had the Chicago police and the FBI spending all their time on this hate hoax while people were being killed in the streets of Chicago. So there's a serious injustice here that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, well, that's. I just wanted to make that connection. We're talking about the same person that was apparently involved in the Smollett case is the one that's coming in to clean up the SPLC mess. But you know, I guess Tyler, probably a better question to ask is how can organizations like Apple, that gave $1 million to SPLC this past year. And they use their hate list, as does Amazon, Google, Twitter, CNN. How do organizations like that continue to use the SPLC as their moral standard, given the fact that we now know what SPLC has been doing for years?
Well, that is an excellent question. I've been asking a whole bunch of people that recently, especially there were 25 donor funds that decided they were going to blacklist any organization the SPLC called a hate group. So they represent over $1 billion in charitable donations. And these organizations are trusting the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, you know, as Rich Lowry said, designated itself an anti-African-American, anti-woman group. That's really quite remarkable. No one should trust the SPLC's judgments, and especially not when they list mainstream conservative and Christian organizations like FRC on their hate group list. It's unconscionable and despicable.
Now, and these are not allegations that are coming from people on the outside. These are employees and former employees that have raised these allegations, and I'm sure lawsuits are going to follow. But what we're now seeing is that the Southern Poverty Law Center, Tyler, was nothing more than a cesspool of bigotry and racism, and they're out pointing fingers at other people.
Yeah, no, it's an absurd double standard.
So I guess the SPLC has, you know, they're sitting on, I don't know, $350 million to try to do damage control, but I mean, the big question is, I think, goes to these big tech companies that have partnered with them and others that are using them as their standard of what is a legitimate group and not. I mean, I think they're the ones that have to answer that question now.
Yeah, no, they certainly. And we need to constantly be asking them. I mean, for those listeners who, like me, have iPhones, or those listeners who, you know, on Facebook, Twitter, reach out to these companies and demand that they give you answers, because the Southern Poverty Law Center is not to be trusted, and each of these organizations needs to be held accountable for giving them a trust they don't deserve.
Now, Tyler, we're up against a break, but very quickly, are there any other shoes to drop here? I know we've had about a dozen of them have fallen, but what is there anything else that might be coming out of their closet?
Yeah, well, right now I'm actually working on a story of one of their former board members who was listed on the SPLC Board of Directors as recently as yesterday. She is the Secretary of State from Michigan, and she claims that she withdrew from the board. She resigned as soon as she became Secretary of State in Michigan, but she was still on there yesterday, and she has not shared with me her letter of resignation.
Hey. Tyler, we got to leave it there. Hold on. We'll come back to this after the break. Don't go away. Folks, stick with us. We're coming back after this.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juneau, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You are listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, Tyler O'Neill has with PJ Media sticking around. But before I go back to Tyler, I just want to put this out there. This is the question I want to put out there today. I want to get your thoughts on it. You can give me a call. As we were talking about earlier, the colossal collusion implosion, you know, the media had very little credibility going into this. But the question is, in your view, has the media, the mainstream media, lost what little credibility they had? I mean, they were so far out there, and now the report ends saying there was no collusion, no criminal activity. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And, you know, what sources might you be looking for media, given the fact that, in my view, the mainstream media has no credibility left? All right, Tyler O'Neill sticking around. Tyler, I want to get to that last point because I think it's quite significant, and we were up against the break, and I don't know if everybody caught it. But, you know, just like rats jumping off a sinking ship, it could appear that some of the board members, higher-profile board members, are leaving the Southern Poverty Law Center. Jocelyn Benson, who is Michigan's Secretary of State, was on their website as late as of yesterday, but all of a sudden disappeared. What's behind that?
Yeah, well, actually, it really depends on who you ask. I decided that I would go directly to the source and ask the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they did not respond with a comment, of course. But the Michigan Secretary of State gave me a very clear answer that does not seem to add up. They said, quote, upon taking office as Michigan Secretary of State, Secretary Benson informed SPLC leadership that she would be stepping down from the board. Her responsibilities in Michigan are her priority and focus. That's a very clear statement, but I don't think that really measures up because her name was still on the list for the board of directors, as you mentioned, as recently as last night. I think at the very least, her staff probably reached out to the SPLC and said, we don't want any connection with you now. Take her off. And, of course, whether she was on the board as of yesterday is still an open question. But it certainly seems like it if the SPLC website says so.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't have this in front of me, so I could be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, I recall recently where Michigan was actually using SPLC in some kind of analysis. They were using the hate listing of SPLC. So it looks like there's some collusion maybe in Michigan with SPLC.
Yeah. No, that was a very big scandal because one of the organizations that is falsely maligned as a hate group decided to take up a lawsuit against Michigan for precisely that. So this is a very disgusting connection that we have here, and now they're trying to wash their hands of this. But the as you said, the collusion, there was no collusion with Russia, but there certainly is collusion with the SPLC going on there.
Well, I want you to dig into that, Tyler, and let me know what you find out, because I think our listeners would be very interested if in fact this Secretary of State was being a little less than honest and just bailing after SPLC was exposed rather than what she claimed that she left after she was elected. Because, as you said, we've got pictures of her on the website as late as yesterday, although they scrubbed the website today. The timing's very interesting.
Yeah, extremely interesting. And, of course, it wasn't her office, but that of Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel that decided they would use the SPLC labels in launching a hate crimes unit. But
the relationship between statewide elected officials of the same party in the state
is very close, of course.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm very familiar with how that works. Tyler, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your insight of this, and we will continue to track the SPLC as there are more revelations. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks. My pleasure, Tony. You can follow me at Tyler2O'Neill on Twitter and at pjmedia.com.
All right. Thanks so much. Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media. You can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And here's what we want to talk about. You know, in the wake of this colossal collusion implosion, you know, the media so far out there. In fact, I want to play this just in case you're just joining us. I want to play. This is just a snippet of a much longer kind of audio collage of clips from the media that's out there. But this is just one little snippet. I don't have all the names. You would know. You might recognize some of the names and the voices as well. But let's play, Bobby. Let's play clip number one again.
Donald Trump knows the noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening, if you will.
The noose is tightening around the president.
The noose is tightening.
And I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening and that people might go to jail.
He knows he and POTUS are going to prison.
Well, I think they're all going to end up together in prison, and maybe that's a good thing.
Well, if the noose is tightening, it's around the media, the lack of credibility that the media has. And so I want to know from you, do you still think the media, the mainstream media, has credibility? 866-372-7234. We're going to go to Diana in Alabama. Diana, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for taking my call. The media has no credibility, but they have not had any credibility for a long time. And anybody that missed Jeff Glor's special last night, at around 8 o'clock, he did an hour special on CBS, and they said the exact same things over and over, and they were showing little snippets of, like, the Russian lady coming to the hotel, and they were accusing Trump of all kind of things all over again, like they never heard the verdict, and it was just nauseating. It's the only channel I local news. for my local news, but I just couldn't believe it. I was in shock that they were doubling down like they were. It's just crazy. I just could not believe it. And they, the American people, an apology, Trump an apology, all his people, Maxine Waters for calling out for people to be attacked. I mean, look at all the things that they've caused. And the thing with the SPLC, I'm calling right outside of Selma, Alabama. Mm-hmm. The SPLC was hired by the National Democrats during Clinton's run for office, and they were also the ones that stopped Roy Moore from that little thing called Highway Something in Birmingham. It was a Highway Something paid for by, you know, Highway Something that was with the SPLC. And now that this has come out that there's no collusion, all this is happening with the SPLC, there's a lot of people in there. And I just think that we ought to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of nooses, huh?
Yeah. Well, it is, it's enlightening. And I think people should take note of this. Diana, thanks so much for the call. She's absolutely right. They're doubling down. They can't. There are some. There are some that are admitting that they were misled. But most are doubling down. They refuse. If you're going to wait for an apology, don't hold your breath because it'll be a long time. But I this is a reminder, first off, of using discernment in what you believe. What you hear in the media and what you believe to be true. I mean, look, you had members of the media from, you know, the morning shows all the way to the nighttime primetime shows saying without question the president was going to jail. Impeachment was on its way. They were blinded by their own bias. Now, I believe some people unwittingly took this to be gospel from the media. Just pause for just a moment and ask yourself, how many good people have had their reputations, their careers, their lives ruined by the media espousing blatantly false information? Just think what the president has gone through and his family has gone through. Now, it's one thing to report, as we talked about earlier, getting the facts, putting the facts out there and reporting. But to draw these broad sweeping conclusions without a shred of evidence, the media, I don't give them the time of day. I would not give them the time of day. They've lost all credibility in my view. All right, let's go to Randy in Louisiana. Randy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. I was, like many Americans, in disbelief after the election in the first place and when we all knew what President Trump was going to be facing. But the latter was unbelievable. On November, after the last November elections, I was mental paralysis and my spirit man wouldn't let me sleep well. And that very next morning, I tuned into American Family Radio for the very first time. I didn't even know it existed in my area. Now, I've never missed a day since, and I'm so pleased with the ability now to at least be able to have a glimpse of truth, since the secular left has dominated every means of press, both national TV and newspapers, news articles, and every form of social media. You know, where are we to go? And there's just so many other lost Americans who are not hearing this message and today's story and are still maybe left in misbelief. But I'm glad that you and others at American Family Radio and similar outlets are there to carry that, be salt and light and carry that beacon of hope for the rest of this country. We have a lot of positive things going for us, and I hope this continues and we put this to rest once and for all.
Well, it's going to take informed citizens like yourself getting first accurate information and then acting upon it. So welcome to the AFR family. You're listening on 88.1. It's actually the radio on my truck. The dial is set to 88.1. They're back home in Baton Rouge. So, Randy, thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, and keep up the good work and telling all of us on various times when we can call and things that we can do. We we need to be proactive and we need to be active at assisting each other in keeping this powerful and great nation, in first step. But we don't need to compete. We are number one.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Randy, for that. In fact, that's a great reminder. I didn't talk about it today. We'll probably talk about it tomorrow. But there's a vote coming up in the House of Representatives. And it is a resolution that the Democrats are putting forward, that it's a disapproval resolution of President Trump's policy on the military of the transgenderism. As you'll recall, we've talked about this many, many times. Obama, on his way out the door at the 11th hour, basically set off a cultural time bomb in the military that already repealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, forcing homosexuality in the military. But then they were going to go a step further with transgenderism, which was going to cost, millions and millions and millions of dollars and just create all kinds of havoc. Well, President Trump reversed it, said, nah, we're not going to do this. After a year's study by the Pentagon, they came up with a policy. The left sued the president, saying he cannot put this policy in place. There were three district court judges that put stays in, meaning they could not implement the policy. The Supreme Court stepped in and said, no, you can go forward. It'll still be litigated, but you can do the policy in the meantime. Well, tomorrow, probably tomorrow afternoon or Thursday morning, the House is going to have a disapproval resolution. So here's what you need to do. You need to contact your member of Congress and say, support the president in ending social experimentation in the military and his transgender prohibition. You can call the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Now, someone say, well, I've got a Republican member of Congress. I probably don't need to call. No, that's actually who needs to hear this, because some of the Republicans going wobbly. You need to contact them and tell them to stand firm and stand with the president on this issue. All right? All right, very quickly, I'm going to work in another call here. Brad in Oklahoma. Brad, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. I just want to say that the mainstream media, CNN, CNBC, all of that, they don't have any credibility at all with me. I quit listening to them about the time that the president election came because I wanted some news that was different besides what they were putting out. And when I found onenewsnow.com on my phone, I just this is godsend. And then I started listening to AFR and hooked up with you guys listening to Washington Watch. That's all I ever listened to. A little bit on the computer, but very little. So
well,
I want you,
Brad,
guys, to keep on keeping on.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in today. And folks, you got to find these other sources. Let Washington Watch be one of your sources of information. There needs to be more, but listen and share it with your friends. In fact, if they don't have a station, we're on about 300 stations, but if they don't get us, they can get the Stand Firm app and listen anywhere in the world. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.